a ringing endorsement. Watch this movie. It'll make you feel like you've been gang raped. Put that right above the fold next to the Roger and Ebert thumbs up. That's no fair not to talk about. I was talking about that film Looking for Mr. Goodbar with Diane Keaton, who I love. I saw Looking for Mr. Goodbar for the first time in a long time, about a month ago. And he's got Tom Berenger. I won't give anything away. I'm just going to say, if you've seen Looking for Mr. Goodbar, which is from like 30 years ago, and it's like the most heavy-handed morality thing ever because she's like a school teacher during the day, but then at night she explores free love on the swinging singles scene of New York. And then it's got this final scene, which I will not divulge here, even though the movie's been out for a long time, but it's got this final scene that even if you know how the movie ends, you finish that movie and you feel like someone has hit you between the eyes 8 or 9 times with a big metal pole. I mean, that movie is like, it's scarring. I mean, you watch that movie, it's like watching Requiem for a Dream, where at the end you're just like, oh God, Megan, I'm sorry, I'll never have sex again, you know, and you just want to kill yourself. So, there you go. Watch it. It's like being gang raped.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, so let's do the obligatory nasty news first that we have to get out of the way before we get to the good stuff you really want to hear.
All right.
Because this is...
Now, which category does the burning disemboweling fall into? Is that nasty news or the stuff we really want to hear?
No, that is a good question, isn't it?
Only on this program do we face such dilemmas. I'll let you be the arbiter of that, of course.
But we don't do dirty Donnie here.
No.
We should do. Well, anyway, the first thing is...
Okay.
A teenager lying on Highway 30 near Scappoose dies. Now, if you're a teenager, move out of Scappoose first.
Yeah. I think it's a little too late for that, Tim.
Apparently, this happened at 3:50 in the morning. When a 2006 Ford Focus, not that the car matters, driven by Brenda Broadbent of St. Helens, was en route to work eastbound on Highway 30, when she came upon a body lying in the middle of the right-hand lane. Now, she was unable to avoid... Put yourself in this woman's place. She's unable to avoid it. And
so she hits the body?
Right.
Yeah.
So the victim is an 18-year-old Scappoose resident. He was taken by ambulance to Emmanuel and died shortly after
that. But he was not already dead?
No, he was lying in the road.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, I'm sorry for that woman.
Because
that'll stay with you. Mm-hmm. You can't... has anybody here ever hit a person with their car?
Have not.
Yeah, I have not, but I have a... well, we have a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
A guy we used to work with who I will not name. But
I've almost been hit many times.
Oh, man, me too. He hit a guy with his car, and it was like the worst thing ever. And the guy lived, but was, you know, messed up and his legs broken and whatever. And he said just for months, it's like that's what he would see every night when he would go to sleep. So the teenager was laying in the road?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, any, was there like a, does it say, well, I guess it'll say in the story, there was like he was drugged up or if it was.
It doesn't say.
That sucks. That's too bad.
So the OSP would like anyone who might have driven by the area and seen someone walking in that area around 3:50 in the morning to report.
Well, yeah, I don't want to speculate, but it does seem like if you're laying in the middle of the road at 3:50 in the morning in Scappoose, I mean, I don't know what leads you to do that, but, well, whatever. It doesn't sound like it was her fault, but that sucks.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go with the body without hands and eyes.
Oh, I didn't know it was without hands.
Yeah.
Look, no hands.
I didn't
see. You didn't want to make that joke, did you?
I did not.
See, no. I'm here to get the low hanging. I'm here to do the jobs that others won't do. You know, I'm sort of like an illegal immigrant in that fashion. You know, like the Mexican immigrants come here and they do the jobs that Americans won't do.
Mm-hmm.
I make the jokes that others won't make.
So here we go. Police have released additional information about the decomposed body found by three hikers near Brown's Camp. Charles Hollywood. I wonder if he changed his name to that.
After his move to porn.
Yeah. Was looking for the perfect camping spot with his 10-year-old son and his son-in-law when they came across the body in a wooded area about 5 miles south of Highway 6. It gets worse. The body was burned, disemboweled, and dismembered, and it looks like the victim's eyes have been surgically removed and both arms have been severed at the elbow.
Good God almighty.
This is a news story. I'm just reading
it. Wow, no. Clearly you would never make that up.
No, I would not. So the state medical examiner's office conducted an autopsy and determined the body is that of a Caucasian or Hispanic male in his late 20s and 30s, approximately 5'6" with a small build, very short dark hair. The man was wearing blue jeans,
and a Puma running running coat of pearls.
How do they conclude that he had short hair if his body was burned? Oh, just, I guess maybe not his whole body?
Right. Mm-hmm. All right, okay. This is part of it. All right. So that's that. So if anyone knows about this this fellow, please.
And this is where?
This is in Tillamook County.
Oh, is that
right? Like, south of Highway 6.
Oh, okay. I know that area there. Well,
I'd never go hiking in the woods. Okay, no, but weird things happen there.
No, it's true. And there's a special, and I'm not saying that this guy, and I'm, by the way, I'm not saying that Charles Hollywood, is that his name, Charles Hollywood?
Yep.
That comment about him moving into porn, I thought he was a dead guy, so I could just speak about him freely. That was, of course, satiric and intended for humorous purposes only.
Maybe you never considered it.
Well, with that name, really, it's either that or a countdown show on Couple on the weekend. I'm Charles Hollywood. We're counting down the 35 biggest songs in the country. So I don't know what the deal is with this guy who has no hands or face or
eyes
or organs of any kind or anything, really.
I think Clyde Lewis had one chick in the bath.
Yeah, I'm unclear about what his deal, but I will say this. If you know anything about the Tillamook area, like the Tillamook burn, that area up there, there are any number of illicit crops that are grown up there, where crops of an illicit nature or an illegal nature are either grown, or then where illicit substances are processed deep within the woods. And there's all kinds of bear traps that are set up there, not for bears. And there's all kinds of trip wires that are set up there, not to catch animals. And there's all kinds of bad guys lurking up there with guns at certain times of the year, depending on what area you go into. So that is a place where a lot of people go to engage in nefarious behavior. I'm not saying that this guy was involved in that. But it is also the place where if you go in at the wrong, I'm not trying to freak everybody out, but if you go there at the wrong time and you see the wrong thing going on, and you spot the wrong people at work, that is a thing that can end badly for you. So maybe that's what happened to this guy. Who knows? Are these people calling about the handless man?
Well, you struck a nerve.
Handless? No, I don't think I have. This is more about the freaking... Okay, Scotty, when people call about this business of the federal prosecutors being fired, pass along the message that I don't care. Just tell them Rick Emerson extends his gratitude for your call, but he doesn't care. But thank you for calling anyway, and Godspeed to you.
Call Air America.
Yeah.
They can use it.
Seriously, call. And then offer to give them $5. I'm sorry, was that out loud? That's wrong of me. I shouldn't say that. Let's see. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
That body of Faracino, if I happen to be anywhere near the prison camp up there.
I'm sorry, the body? I don't know. Where's the prison camp?
It's off Highway 6. I'm just not sure how far down it is.
I don't know. I mean, I'm unclear about that, but it seems like a prison camp. When you say a prison camp, I actually don't even know that I know what you're talking about. Is this, when you say prison camp, what is it, like an actual prison, or is it like...
It's a low security prison for misdemeanors, people that go up there and they serve their time for street stuff, so it's supposed to, jail time.
I don't know. This sort of seems like a jail time kind of guy, maybe, what with the no hands and his eyes having been removed. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm unclear about that, but I imagine the news will reveal that as soon as they find it. So, yeah, it doesn't really say right now.
Yeah, maybe someone missed a roll call.
Yes, maybe. Any man doesn't clean his plate, gets his eyes taken out and his arms chopped off at the elbow. And that in the box. All right, thank you. No, there you go. Any man doesn't do his laundry, gets set on fire and his legs amputated. And a night in the box. James, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, Rick. This is James the Furry. I used to work over at the cheese factory in Tillamook for a couple of years.
I'm just picturing you in a giant mouse suit, of course, just so you know.
No. I like to keep my job. I got to wear a hairnet and a beard net, which is always fun.
Okay.
At any rate, let's just say I moved to Portland after that job because I got to know some of the locals there, and, Southern Tillamook has active Ku Klux Klan chapters. People will randomly shoot you if you go up to their house, if you're lost.
It's a redneck haven. I mean, I don't think anybody would lie about
how
that.
How far away is this?
Tillamook?
Yeah.
It's that way. Far enough to get yourself killed. Far enough that you really ought to just stay at home tonight.
Exactly.
Unless you don't see two cars in a row for an hour, you don't belong there.
It's full of rednecks. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This seems a little bit beyond redneck, though. This seems a little pathological, this cutting out the guy. Because it says his eyes were surgically removed. And I apologize for this, but I suppose that means as opposed to removed by, like,
the clothes the next day. I guess that's what that means, is removed by whoever did the rest of this. So that seems a little beyond, that seems a little ambitious for your typical Klansman.
It is, but knowing a lot of the other people around there.
What kind of people do you know?
I know many people that have done many interesting things, like family members who grew those illicit crops,
yes,
you know, up on my grandpa's farm down right near Roseburg and things like that. And, you know, if you're crazy and want to get away from the world, you move to the Oregon coast and buy a few acres out of the middle of nowhere and just do what you like. And, you know, I probably so obvious to like setting up people and surgically removing things,
maybe,
you know.
Your whole backyard is, your whole backyard's like one big crawl space.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
There you go. James the Furry. All right. There you go. There's that. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. So anyway, so this guy's dead and cut into little pieces. So what can you do?
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, we could have a Tanya watch.
Yeah.
To make everyone feel a little bit better.
Fantastic.
Long time for this. Here's your Tanya watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Just because it's a Sonya watch, but that helps. Here's Tim Riley. Okay, so we have a couple of stories about this. First, the sheriff's responded to a call to Tanya Harding's residence, and she now lives in Clark County. Sergeant Tim Biber said deputies were called out to the North Country.
That's where she lives.
The North Country. Like she lives on a Serengeti plant. Where Tanya lived? Tanya lived in North Country with Spirit God. Twice on Sunday. The first call came at 5 a.m. from Harding, who is at Yakult Towing in Yakult. Where? How do you spell that? Y-A-C-O-L-T. Yakult.
Yakult. And this is in Clark County.
Yeah, this is in Clark County.
All right. So this is, she no longer lives in Clackamas. I bet Clackamas is
No, she's moved up in the world.
Has she?
Moving really? On up.
Really? Is that true?
No, I don't know.
Does it say what city she actually lives in?
It's Clark County, but I wonder what city it is. It's not Vancouver, probably. I wonder if it is Vancouver. Does it say what city proper she lives in?
It does not. No.
If anybody knows, I'm not asking you.
It just
you,
says Clark County.
Please don't call up.
Just in a tent.
just in a tent.
Maybe an unincorporated area.
Maybe it's in the back of someone else's house.
And just in the...
Then Tanya Harding crouched in her yard again.
Oh, damn.
Get out people's eyeballs.
Yep.
Like Carl Weathers, just arrives and eats your food and leaves. Please do not call up and give out Tanya Harding's address if you know it, but if you know what city she lives in, I'm really not asking for stalking purposes. I'm just curious, because she did live in Clackamas.
You're kind of freaking everybody out.
She lives in Clackamas. I'm curious to know if she has moved up or down in the world.
Oh,
I kind
on.
Of doubt it would be up.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, she told the policeman that she's being followed by several people.
Mm-hmm.
And believed somebody was trying to hide weapons on her property.
Uh-huh.
Now, the deputy responded and was not able to find any evidence of her claim. Harding told officers her medication had been changed. She did not say what condition for which she was being treated or the medication she was taking. Now, we have a second report here with police describing Harding as very agitated and tweaking out.
That's hard to believe. Well, she'd be thinner.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Oh, about 4 hours later, a resident who only identified herself as a friend of Harding's.
Why?
A friend of Tanya Harding.
That does narrow it down, doesn't it?
Why would that... How sad if that's the first description of yourself that comes to mind. You know, who are you? Well, I'm a mechanic. Who are you? Well, I'm my kid's mom. Who are you? I'm a friend of Tanya Harding's. That's what you put on your business card to people. So she identified herself as a friend of Harding's and called to say Harding was at the friend's house and was scaring her kids.
Mom, Tanya Harding, scaring us again.
Okay, we're getting closer to finding out where she is.
I have to go home. Tanya Harding is there and she's scaring my children.
I love this. I love this city, this country, this place. I really do. Well, anyway, deputies responded and took Harding home to a trailer on Northeast Sunset Falls Road.
That'll put you back in a good frame
of mind. And she was advised to see a doctor.
That'll put you back in a happy mood. We're going to take you home and put you back in your trailer.
Then, cheer up. So going back to the second story here, because we're trying to put this all together, we have varying things going on here. Later that same morning, police received another call regarding Harding, this time from a friend. Could this be the same friend? Or maybe
Harding's friend, still.
He told authorities that the skater was seeing animals. Now, we don't know, socially, or
perhaps biblically speaking, or...
I don't know. But it said she was seeing animals.
Okay.
So they checked her home to put her at ease from these animal sightings.
How is it that you do that?
I don't know.
If someone's seeing it, presumably animals that aren't really there, how is it that... How do you make that okay? It's like when someone thinks they're covered in spiders. There's really no way that... What are you going to do? No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And that's the better part of your day. All right. Oh, wait. Well, we've got some calls about this here. Ty, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hey, Rick. Love the show.
Thank you.
Colt. Yeah, it's just about 10, 15 minutes north of Battleground, if you're familiar with Battleground. Yeah.
Oh, am I ever. That's God's country.
Yeah.
So Yakult is, that's a city?
Well, it has a grocery store and a chainsaw shop that doubles as a liquor store. But that's
okay, well,
it.
That counts. Look, in Clark County, that counts.
That is the greatest thing ever.
Is it named after some local hero who liberated the place from the Indians and gives it to the white people?
It could be.
There ought to be a town just called Smallpox.
Yeah,
where do you live, Smallpox, Washington? that passes for a city there.
What's that?
That does pass for a city there. You're right.
Yeah,
I use the phrase, the word city, sort of loosely.
Yeah, if you blink, you're going to miss it, though.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Excellent. God bless you. Thank you. Are you spreading the word about this very fine radio program?
Oh, every chance I can.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Have a good one.
That's high. There you go. Chainsaw store that doubles as a liquor store. Connie, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, she lives about 2 miles from my mom's house up on Sunset
friend?
Falls Road.
Is your mom the friend of Tanya?
No.
And being a friend
of Tanya.
I was going to say, like being a friend of Dorothy or a friend of Bill?
No, she is not.
Okay, has your mom seen Tanya Harding out and about?
Sure.
Really?
Yes.
How's she looking these days? Not your mom.
White.
Really? White or white?
Both.
how sad. Because, of course, when you hear, and we are not implying anything. Who are we kidding? We're totally implying something, but we're not saying anything. As far as anybody knows, as far as any lawyers know.
You wouldn't even recognize her.
I'm just saying, when they use the phrase, and this is, we're quoting now from the article, someone describes your quote as tweaking out.
A policeman described her as tweaking out.
That does make you wonder if maybe she might be thinner these days.
No.
I think we all know what I'm saying. All right. So, but your answer to that is a resounding no. Just a whole lot of starch. Have you seen the trailer where she lives?
It's not actually a trailer. It's a house.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe just out of habit, they referred to it as a trailer, just sort of reflexively.
Whenever I go to my mom's house, I always look to see if her Jeep's there.
And is it?
And if it's not, I know where she's at.
Now, don't identify the place by name, please, but when you say...
Is it a bar?
Is it a bar?
It is.
Okay. Excellent.
Oh, can you tell us up there?
No.
All right. That's fair enough. Fair enough. All right.
But it has a chainsaw mat attached to it.
Well, really, can't that describe about 90% of the buildings there?
Yes.
Oh, so it's in Yakult.
Yeah.
It is in Yakult.
All right.
Not Yakult, Yakult.
Okay. Thank you, Connie. You call us anytime.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's Connie on the Rick Emerson Show. Okay. I knew that's what you were going to ask, by the way. I can see that mischievous gleam in your eye. Well, I want to know, too.
She's taunting us.
I don't know. I want to know, too.
I want to get some friends together and go and visit the bar that Tanya Harding hangs out at.
Let's start our own MySpace group. Rick Yakult is moving way down from Clackamas, just so you know. Expect to see a disemboweled body there any day. All right, thank you. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's see. According to Google, Northeast Sunset Falls Road is in that vicinity. If you're going to visit her, bring your own banjo, by the way. All right, thank you. Here's Tim Riley. So is there anything else there?
Not in that one, but we still have more fascinating local stories.
Excellent. There you go. There's your Tanya watch.
Bye.
does seem strange.
I'm already getting text messages from my friends going, let's go there.
See, that's why I knew we couldn't say it on the air. Because everybody would... You going to take a road trip to go drink with Tanya tonight?
Not tonight, because I'm going to the Blazers game. Maybe she'll be at the Blazers game.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
No, I don't think that's...
I don't think she has enough gas.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case to you. Unless you want to go offer to pick her up. You should. I bet we should get her on the show at this point. She's probably busted down low enough that we could... Now, people are calling and they're saying where she drinks, and I'm not going to do that. We're not going to... That would be wrong. It would be wrong for us to...
And especially, I don't want to announce it if I'm going to go stalk her.
Yeah, really, because that really is the larger issue. I mean, and I say that without... I say that really without any sort of ego attached to it, but I do believe probably that anybody from this show would have more stalkers at this point than Tanya does. Tanya's too busy being stalked by imaginary deer.
Tanya totally has stalkers.
Well, just me. No, Scotty, I don't want to announce where she drinks. But thank you. People call up. Okay. But I'll give it to Sarah, though. Let me write it down so I don't forget. I'll leave that on the screen for a second. No, and that's not about how great we are. I'm just saying... Like, I was going to say, who even knows where she lives, but apparently everybody. Apparently we're the last to know. But the opportunity to stalk you and Tanya Harding in one night would be irresistible, I think, for many members of the audience, so we probably shouldn't announce it. Let's see.
All right, I'll bring a video camera.
I can go there and I can leer at Sarah Dillon and Tanya Harding in one place while playing scratch-off. I mean, really, just for any number of people in the audience, that's like a whole night. Okay. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Some more local color here. About that amphetamine suspect accused of stealing car parts or was arrested early this morning. It happened that you pull it and you save.
You go to jail.
They saw the owner chasing a man down Highway 26. Deputies found 29-year-old Neil Anthony under a tree at Southeast 312th. He had a warrant out for a meth charge. The owner said he was monitoring his property when he saw an abandoned bicycle and spotted a suspect inside the wrecking yard. They found evidence that Lee had been stealing metal parts and collecting them in a pile, and he was equipped with a light covered with grease. Apparently, he was after catalytic converters. Most of these suspected criminals climb the trees or use a ladder to break into you-pull-it-you-save parts after it's closed.
Anything happened to metal at this point? Well, yeah, I mean, that is simultaneously the best and worst business to be in right now because those meth guys just descend on it like flies on a rib roast. So, and he was on a bicycle. How much metal? Goddamn, people are stupid. How much metal can you steal on a bicycle?
Maybe there are baskets on the side.
Just a big bag of nuts. all right. Let's see. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hey.
You know, I think that'd be a perfect place for Sarah to go. There's some, I'm sure Tanya now is low enough. She's into some of that girl-on-girl kissing. And if we could please have a video this time, I'd really appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'll...
And the prison camp is not near where they found this guy.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
All right. God bless you. There you go. Rick, I hear Tanya listens to your show. Good luck with that. Now, that's not true. People have been saying that forever. Here's how I know Tanya doesn't listen to our show.
Well, she should know that you have an honest-to-God crush on her, and that we haven't really ever said anything bad about her.
Not until
now. No, she used to listen to that country station.
She listened to the place where we used to work, or not to us, but to our what used to be our sister station, to JJ. She listened to them. And I think she used to show up at their remotes, didn't she?
That's what I heard, yes.
I think there was a whole lot of... But the thing is, they didn't welcome it as the gift that we would. They were sort of embarrassed by it. I hate to say that. But they were sort of embarrassed that Tanya Harding would show up. And none of the, Well, I know it sounds like we're poking fun, and perhaps we are having a merry jape at her expense today, but we do, that is to say, I really do love Tanya Harding. I really do, and I mean that in an unironic sense. So she's been listening for a long time. I mean, I called shenanigans on that because she would know that I got a whole thing for her and have forever and ever and ever, and I know that horrifies any number of people, but that's just going to have to be the way it is. Here's Tim Riley.
So let's hear from Hillary Clinton today, shall we? It's been a few days. She's joining the chorus of congressional Democrats calling for the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. And that story we really don't quite understand.
The Attorney General, who still seems to confuse his prior role as the president's personal attorney with his duty to the system of justice and to the entire country, should resign.
I expect her to yell. Yes, and to talk in a corn-pone voice. Mm-hmm. All right. As opposed to Hillary Clinton, who just confuses the fact that she once lived with a guy who could be president with the fact that she cannot be president.
Well, wrapping up his five-nation Latin American trip, the president has concluded talks with Mexico's new president, Felipe Calderon.
Addressing one contentious issue, Calderon said he and Bush had constructive talks about orderly and legal migration.
A good migration law will help both economies and will help the security of both countries.
Everyone form an orderly line to the right.
That is a good idea.
All right.
The president says, yes, there are many similarities between Mexico and the United States.
I appreciate so very much the fact that during our meetings we reaffirmed the values of democracy and transparency that and rule of law that guide both our countries.
Nice. Well, thanks. Thanks for that. My day's getting better.
Up to Colorado Springs we go. The police there have released a 911 call made by a man who was driving drunk. Police say Alexander Craig called at least six times to let police know he was breaking the law. And during this call, Craig dared the police to come out and get him.
Where are you? I'm on my fear. I'm hammered. I don't give a f***. Come and get me.
Really? Did they oblige?
Yes, they did.
Oh, I hope they beat him senseless.
They finally followed him, then subdued him with a taser. When he got out of his car, he was charged with driving under the influence, vehicular eluding, resisting arrest, and several traffic violations.
Where are you? I'm right here. I'm hammered.
Oh, that the idea that they tased him later is just so satisfying. Boy, I was at the store last night. There was a guy I wanted to tase. They make those civilian tasers, and the reason I can't get one of those civilian tasers is the reason I can't get a gun, because I'd use it. I would use it. There was the, and I know I sound like a grouchy old person, but I was at the store last night buying some eye drops myself because I got the hay fever and so forth and the allergies and the whatnot. And so I'm there buying some eye drops, my allergies, and I get that. Why am I always the one in the store when this happens, too? Why is it always me that they stand behind? It's a bunch of black-clad youths, probably in their early 20s, who I think have just finished having their first beer ever, and they're doing that thing of where they're like late teens, early 20s, and they're really not amusing or funny in any way. They just think that they're hilarious because they're shouting everything. And then it's like just a bunch of guys standing behind me shouting things at each other, even though they're 6 inches away from each other and they're only 9 inches away from me. And then they begin playing catch in the aisle with a huge bag of Fritos, knocking things over and just being really obnoxious. And I was just thinking to myself, like, how satisfying it would be to just have a taser and to just tase one of those guys right in the sack. Because he wouldn't see that coming either. That's not a thing. That's not a thing he'd anticipate. Let's take this one final call and then we'll break. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, it's John. I used to work down on Nikolai by Calbag, which is a metal recycler.
By Calbag?
Calbag is the name of the company. I used to work down for Kaiser on Nikolai. Anyway, there were guys showing up all the time there on bicycles with piles of metal in little baskets, and you could see them on the side street stripping off insulation from the wire they probably stole out of houses or something.
Right.
So it's a real, I think that's just a mode for those folks to get around.
I'm getting all of these emails here saying that, let's see, Rick, the tweaker is smarter than the talk show host in this instance. The meth head was stealing catalytic converters because they can recycle the platinum, which is way more valuable pound for pound than almost any other metal part in the junkyard.
I think that's true. Platinum's in the catalytic converter.
All right. Platinum. Well, it seems like they... Don't you think that these metal scrapyard guys at some point are going to figure out that they're going to lock this stuff up?
You'd think so, yeah.
I mean, if I can figure that out. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Fantastic. All right. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Yakult is actually an incorporated city of 1,100 people. Tanya, it says that when she's not hanging out at the bar, which I won't name, she hangs out at the towing company. All right. Which is apparently a couple of buildings down the street. She's all class. Let's take a break here. We'll come back more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Jim Roop later on. Steve Kastenbaum. Yeah, we really ought to send her an invite to the next listener event week. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. show. 503-733-2970. Rick, about Ambien. It starts with folks sleep eating, and now there are reports of sleep driving, where folks get in their cars and drive to the local mini mart for snack foods and a Slurpee. Then they drive back home and go back to bed without ever waking up. This explains a lot of the big unexplained weight gains people have while taking these drugs. You notice that when you're whacked out on NyQuil, CNN correspondent Lisa Goddard mentioned her bad Ambien experience. She never said how she got from sleeping in her seat to the bathroom in a moving train, just as she woke up there while throwing up. Can anything be worth those side effects? No, I guess not. Thank you, sir. I've learned my lesson. It's here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, American Interactive officials are cautiously optimistic after...
No, really. What are they?
Cautiously optimistic.
Oh, come on. Quit joshing.
They say they're curbing the sectarian violence in Baghdad. The U.S. military spokesman Major General William Caldwell says more Iraqis are coming forward to help the USA because they're our friends.
That's helping a lot, too. They're coming forth and engaging and opening up once they realize that we're going to remain there and work with them to help bring down the levels of violence.
Yes, Major General Caldwell says our troops are bedding down in Baghdad, hopefully not with each other, as General Pace is warned.
We're putting forces that are living and remaining down in the districts, all 10 districts within the city, so that we're establishing relationships with the Iraqi people. And we've got Iraqi police and army with coalition forces staying there in a long-term basis.
You know, for an organization that dislikes gays so much, they have a lot of people with lisps working for them. That's more of a geek lisp, though. That's a whole lot of, like, it's a massive multiplayer online roles of playing game with the whole... If you could... my mouse doesn't seem to want to work here. If you could just, real quickly... Is my computer up? We could just very briefly with the... Scotty. My thing doesn't want to play. Scotty, could you please come to the studio for a second?
You doing okay there?
No, my computer doesn't want to work. The button doesn't seem to want to operate. I'm having that Tim Riley problem where audio cuts are like 4 seconds long, take an hour to load.
Oh, don't worry. You'll get used to it after a few weeks. You just sit here with your hand attached to your face.
Silently glum. Scotty J, hello, sir.
Howdy.
Hi. What does secular mean?
Man, I wasn't even listening. I couldn't get on the internet. I'm going to say it's kind of like a derivative, like it's singular.
Not, it's not a new word.
You know, secular.
That's my
you know, we've had this conversation before. I should know this by now.
We haven't. What does secular mean?
Kind of like singular. It's kind of like,
it's
you
a cell phone
know.
It's a cell phone company.
I have singular.
What's singular. Your phone company? Secular.
Singular.
Use it in a sentence, please.
That's a word I probably would avoid using.
Most liberals are in favor of that.
Yes. Secular. They're secular something, right?
What? That's not even a full sentence. That's actually a fragment. You just think on it for a bit.
That sounds like a Bush speech without the help of Karl Rove.
You can just hang out here for a while and think on it. Here's Tim Riley with the news.
The jailbird dad of Lindsay Lohan has been released from the New York State prison after serving almost 2 years for driving while intoxicated and other charges. Michael Lohan, now a free man. He wants to repair his unsteady relationship with his 20-year-old daughter. He was released from the facility near Buffalo. Lohan had been jailed there since 2005 for attempted assault and other charges. The assault charge stemmed from an attack of his brother-in-law at a party. While awaiting sentencing, he was charged with driving while intoxicated, aggravated, unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle. But he went off the road, hit a utility pole, and burst into flames.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He did go to Bible college while in prison, so it wasn't a secular experience. And he became a minister with the Assemblies of God ministry. I want to help people. I don't want them to fall in the same traps as I did. Lindsay Lohan's films include Freaky Friday and Mean Girls.
I was actually just going to say this, that I can't even remember Lindsay Lohan being an actress at this point. To me, I don't... Was Mean Girls the last film she did that anybody saw? There was the Herbie the Love Bug thing. What was the last movie of hers that anybody went to see?
Else, but I can't remember.
She was also in that movie, Just My Luck.
I have literally watched none of her movies.
I can't.
That movie, Just My Luck, that was right before she became all crazy with the drugs.
I don't even remember what that is. All right, Scotty, you've had a minute to think about it. Secular.
Ministry.
Can you spell secular?
I'll try.
Okay.
C-I-N-G-U-L-A.
Don't be a card.
S-E-C. S-E-C. T.
No.
Q.
There's no. No. The reason why I said that. Sect. Right. Okay. S E C U L A R. Wait. The lure is L A U R. Right.
Oh, my.
Sectular. I honestly can't even use that in a sentence. Is it?
We don't have to say honestly. We believe you.
Is it a segregation of some sort? Secular? I mean, what's the meaning of it?
It's okay. Thank you, Scotty.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Scotty, our PA, Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen.
Fantastic.
It's the Yakult Tavern Spelling Bee. The karaoke machine is working.
The grand prize, the catalytic converter, stolen from you two on a boat.
I was just going to say.
A bale of copper wire is under a prize.
I was going to say the winner gets a free throw in the horseshoe pit.
Oh, good times. Here's Tim Riley.
Part two of the Lindsay Lohan story. She had a run-in with a paparazzi. After partying all night at a New York nightclub, according to Axios Hollywood, Lohan knocked the man down with a car as she was trying to get away from the paparazzi. But video of the incident appears to leave some room in question as to whether or not the victim may have actually intended to put himself in harm's way. Fantastic. I love it. Let's stop and get a hold of ourselves. First of all, are those the paparazzi shouting at her?
I believe so, yeah.
You know that they eat it. And you know that they don't really care. They're not really concerned. They just don't want to look like a-holes. They're like, Lindsay, be careful. Whatever you do, don't hit that.
You'll hurt one of our own.
Exactly. We don't want that. And then so what? She runs over a guy's foot or something? Or she hit him with the car?
Yeah, apparently.
And then it's great, and then he's so clearly not upset about it at all. He's so clearly happy.
An ambulance was called. He was reportedly treated and released from a hospital with a bruised knee.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Fantastic. That was bootleg, dude.
Then after his rushing to the hospital, he returned to the scene about an hour later.
Oh, that's mighty big. That's just like Edward R. Murrow in the Blitz. That's exactly what that's what journalists of the past fought and died for. So that some guy from Perez Hilton could operate with a bruised shin after bumping into Lindsay Lohan's car. This email says, Rick, about Ambien, it can be useful for the short term, but has nasty withdrawal effects when you stop taking it. We try not to advise it. Trazodone is much safer. However, Trazodone can cause 48-hour painful erections that need 20 stitches to fix. Just have some warm milk. Well, done and done. Here's Tim Riley.
Off to Alabama we go.
The Alabama House.
Everything makes me laugh today.
The Alabama House has approved a bill approaching $79 million. Where did they find this money in Alabama?
They borrowed it from Mexico.
Immediately, they're going to rebuild schools destroyed by tornadoes. The bill sponsor, Terry Spicer's temper, reached the boiling point during these discussions.
I want you to understand, Mr. Laird, when your place gets blown away and children are laying dead in the nursing in the funeral home, I'm going to be there to help you.
What, to help you?
Yeah, Spicer's temper exploded and order was restored by Speaker Seth Hamlet.
You're not even a licensed architect. You're not a licensed commercial builder. You think. You so think that is not you, do you?
Mr. Spicer.
Thank you, Mr. Laird.
Mr. Spicer.
Now, Kiss, I don't understand anything that's going on. What are they fighting about?
They're trying to find $79 million
to rebuild
schools.
From what happened to the schools?
Well, they're blown away in tornadoes.
So they claim. If we give you how about this? We'll make a deal. If we give you, the rest of the country, if we give you $79 million, will you promise to either A, move, or B, never, ever, ever talk to the rest of us again? Never talk to us, never be on camera, never be in the news, ever again. You have one of two choices. You can either move somewhere else, or you can leave the rest of us alone. All right, 503-733-2970. I'm not even sure if this guy's screwing with me. Rick, secular. Secular refers to sects, he says, S-E-C-T-S. The fighting between the Shia and the Sunni sects of the Muslim religion is secular fighting. I can't even tell if this guy's winding me up, as they say. Well, whatever. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile,
Where are we? No. Oh, Muslims are filing a suit after being tossed off a plane. Imagine some of these crazy people praying on a plane in the middle of a flight. Wouldn't you be scared?
Yes.
Well, they hired an attorney, Moody Bray, who claims only half those Muslims are praying together who scared people.
They prayed before they entered the plane, okay, and only three of the imams prayed.
Six of these imams, as they're called, blocked the way of one of the passengers, one of them named Rita, is complaining, and refused to follow orders from the flight attendant.
You can't do what they did. We were all told to take our seats, get our seatbelts on. Well, these gentlemen did not want to listen. What they did is they kept getting up and going back and forth to each other.
What kind of a world is it where white
they're
people
not
have
gentlemen.
To, white people have to sit down, and non-white people are allowed to mingle freely. That's no world that I want to live in.
So, Rita said it was odd. They kept walking back and forth on the plane, and they were supposed to sit down.
From what I know, there was at least four gentlemen that we saw. The other gentleman went to the back of the plane, I would assume, to talk to the other gentleman, and it just was back and forth, and it's a suspicious,
my in-laws.
It's suspicion behavior.
I was trying to read my Mary Higgins Clark novel, and they kept getting in my way.
Good God almighty.
Is it possible I have a story where I hate everyone? All right. Well, there you go. Well, done. Done, I guess. Accomplished with that. Fantastic. Blah, blah, blah. You know who I'm not afraid of on planes is Muslims. I will tell you that right now. There's no one on a plane that I worry about less right now than Muslims, especially even if they're gibbering away to each other in some bizarre language. You know why? First time, the first time like a group of Muslims or anybody who's, let's just speak the plain truth here, the first time you're on a plane flying from, Kansas to, Kansas to Decatur, and a group of people who aren't white get up and look like they're going to cause a ruckus, they're going to be beaten into a powder by the rest of the people on the plane. The rest of the people on the plane, doesn't matter. I don't care if they have guns. I don't care what they have. The rest of the people on the plane will get up and beat them into a paste, whether or not they're guilty of anything. That's just the way Americans think. I'm not saying that is good or bad. I'm simply saying that is the way that Johnny Sixpack in this country thinks. If some guy with a turban looks like he's going to rush towards the cockpit, they're going to beat that guy into a fine pudding. So that's just the way it is. So I know. In fact, I don't worry about anybody causing a ruckus on a plane anymore. First time you get uppity, they're going to beat you to death. So, yeah, I don't worry about that. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for the long-awaited Britney Watch.
Oh, fantastic. Here's your Britney Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Fantastic.
So the question is, has Britney found a rehab romance? Has Britney found new love?
Has she?
The troubled pop singer has hooked up with a musician she met in AA.
Really?
And plans to move in with him when she's out of rehab.
Is he from Buckcherry, I wonder? Does it say who it is? It doesn't. I guess it's Alcoholics Anonymous.
33-year-old Jason Filia, the lead guitarist with the rock and roll band Reba. Britney adores Jason, a friend of Jackson's told the Inquirer.
Who's Jackson?
Who's Jackson? That's a good question.
Wanda Jackson?
It doesn't say. He's been a tower of strength for her at the lowest point of her life.
A tower of strength? She's known him for like a week.
She's convinced Jason can help her through rehab because he's an alcoholic.
I'm sorry. I didn't see that coming. I really didn't.
She emails and phones Filia constantly. He calls her Sugar Kitten, my lady. She calls him Mr. Sunset Underground Guy and J-Sun.
I wish I was dead. I wish I was dead.
When contacted by the Inquirer, he said, I have nothing to say about this.
She believes that he's going to be a pillar of strength for her if she gets clean because he's an alcoholic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love the nicknames for him first and foremost.
He's Mr. Downtown.
No, it's a really long nickname. What is it, Mr.?
Mr. Secret Underground Guy.
Oh, I thought you were those like three different names.
No, it's Mr. Secret Underground Guy.
Mm-hmm. Who called him that?
Britney.
Oh, God. All right, there you go.
He calls her Sugar Kitten and my lady.
And he's from what band? That it will now be what band? Reva. Is this them?
Yeah, but I don't know if it's clean, so I'm just going
to. Do they suck?
Yes.
All right.
Well, maybe that's why he's an alcoholic.
Maybe that's why he's banging Britney. I'm sorry. Being a pillar, maybe being a beacon for her, whatever the hell.
We are Reva. We effing rock. Uh-huh. I suppose we could write a bunch of nonsense to sell you, but it's probably best to let the music speak for itself.
He's going
to
let the music do the talking.
Everything on our records is played by humans.
He's thrilled to the music. Is he? What is this? Their MySpace page?
There's no editing, no pitch manipulation. Punch-ins when we're done the tape deck. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, it goes on and on.
You'll never have a hit without that.
No, there's no payola either. The you will never be on the radio. You're never going to have a hit. You will never amount to anything. It doesn't matter how many times you bang Britney Spears. There ought to just be a group called Banging Britney. You know what I mean? Like, sort of like a Saving Jane or whatever the hell that band is now.
Maybe they'll put one together in rehab.
Banging Britney. I'm calling dibs on that right now. That's going to be my new band. Banging Britney featuring Rick Emerson.
All right, there you go.
And Tonya Harding.
Yes.
I bet Tonya Harding plays a musical instrument. I bet if we just, you know,
maybe she does. What does she do all day?
She's sitting around and she plays the Jew's harp. Do they still call it that?
No.
What do they call it?
I don't know what you're referencing.
The Jew's harp. It's a musical instrument, Tim.
Yes, I recognize that instrument.
I used to know how to play it. The news department will back me up on this.
Right, there is such an instrument.
It is called the Jew's harp.
Mm-hmm.
That is the name. When I was in grade school, that's what they called it in my music textbook. Well, there you go. There's your Britney watch. Let's finish that before we start slandering anybody else.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to ask.
I'm an alcoholic. Oh, my sweet alcoholic power of strength.
A Jew's harp festival every year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it at? Is it in Kazakhstan?
It might be. It's from the Jew's Harp Guild.
There's a guild of Jew's harp players?
Welcome to the Jew's Harp Guild. We're a non-profit organization dedicated to preserving the history, art, and the culturally significant acoustic instrument of the Jew's harp. It kind of looks like a bottle opener.
What is it?
The Jew's harp is a
small musical instrument. It is held between the teeth or lips and plucked with the fingers.
You would recognize if you heard it. It makes a sound.
Kind of like a Sanford and Sunday.
Wait, what is it?
That's what it sounds. It does. Exactly. It sounds exactly like it ought to be in the Sanford and Son theme, which it may or may not be.
I think go here to hear a Jew's harp MP3. So.
All right, let's do it.
Really?
Dare to dream.
Let's see here. Complete tracks.
I'm just hung up on
Jew's harp.
Okay. The alcoholic tower of strength.
Here a quick a song without words. This is from the Jew's harp. We're connecting now.
That's the Jew's harp.
Right, they have a festival every year. Oh, because it's almost St. Patrick's Day, here is an Irish song.
On the Jew's harp, really?
The Jew's harp, yeah. It's a duet.
I want all of our music heads to feature a Jew's harp and a cowbell from now on. The Jew's harp is the new cowbell. Mark my words. Adds that hint of hick to anything, doesn't it? How long do we play this before people come kill us?
I like this.
Yeah, 45 seconds.
It's only halfway through.
While we're playing this, let's take some Jew's harp phone call, shall we? Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
When I was a boy in the fourth grade, a souvenir, you could buy a Jew's harp.
Did you?
No, I didn't, but another kid did. I didn't have the $4.95. Is that the same instrument that Richie Sambora plays at the beginning of Living on a Prayer?
No, that's a talk box.
Yeah, all right then.
Thank you. That's a talk box or a, I was going to try to think of another ethnic group to put in front of it. A Danish box. Bob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey there, I'm a member of the Jew's harp guild.
You're screwing with me.
Absolutely, I am not.
Really? Can you play the Jew's harp? Well, of course you can. You're not just there to get chicks. Do you have a Jew's harp handy, sir?
Always. Carry it with me at all times.
Okay. Really?
Yes, I actually do.
Okay, well, let's bust some out.
Okay, let me set the... Let me try it here. Hold on.
Right. We'll wait. Can you right. Now, can you play any pop songs of today or that I might recognize on the
jukebox? Oh, actually, I do. I actually get to play up at the local bar with some of the bands, and they let me play all kind of good stuff.
What, can you play something that we might recognize? Like, let's say...
Stairway to Heaven stuff.
Smoke on the Water, perhaps?
Give that a shot.
All right, thank you.
Let me think how that goes. Yeah, got it. How's that?
Fantastic.
So awesome.
God bless you, Bob. Who knew? Fantastic. Now we have to. We actually have to ask this question. Of course. Now, is there any social pressure to change the name of the instrument to something from Jew's harp?
I have not heard any uprising on that.
Because I don't really. I can't imagine really anybody cares. Probably the only people who care are people who A, are not Jewish, and people who don't have any idea what the instrument is. They're just bored and they're sitting at Reed College with nothing better to do.
That's about it.
All right. Thank you, sir. God, and I mean that sincerely. Thank you so much for calling.
You're very welcome.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Or Democrats.
You're really right
about that. That's true. That's exactly the kind of thing that idiot Democrats do, too. They sit around and they complain about the names of musical instruments. How great is that? We ask the Rick Emerson audience. They cough up the musical gold. Excellent. Why were we talking about that again?
I don't remember. Something about the Jews harp.
Rick,
a long time ago.
Is this all it takes to get Brittany in the sack being an alcoholic? I've been a drunk for years, and no one ever called me a tower of anything. All right, there you go. We should take a break here. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up around the corner, we'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum. I'm sorry, a little bit of one of the belts there. Wait. Gone. Okay. We come back. We'll talk to Steve Kastenbaum at CNN. More from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. And we'll talk about this vampire, his words, not mine, this vampire politician who wants to eat George Bush's heart. What else? Oh, and we'll have the FCC complaints right after Steve. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.